Okay, everybody, so welcome back to the Humble Coach Podcast. We are on to episode 39, and I have to say, I didn't know we'd get this far, but I'm glad we did. I'm joined today by a brilliant coach. She's been a stalwart in the CrossFit community in Ireland for a good number of years now. Her name is Lorna Hayes. Lorna, thanks for joining me.
No problem. Thank you for asking me to come on.
All good. Lorna is currently the owner of CrossFit West Dublin, and has been, I suppose, like myself, maybe a little bit of an OG of the scene. Could you give a little bit of a background on, first of all, how you got into coaching in general, be it before CrossFit and stuff like that, or and then how you got into CrossFit in general? If you could, Lorna, would be fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I was a personal trainer, a fitness instructor from when I was 25. Mm-hmm. So after I had my daughter, I had her young, I just got into getting really healthy and fit because I wasn't. So that got me on the road to wellness and health. Then I used to travel around with my kettlebells in my car, going to different halls before Facebook because I'm old. I used to like print out leaflets and go around, deliver them door to door. And just go to different halls and different towns and teach. Yeah. So that's how I got into it. That's how I started. I never really worked in a gym, because mm-hmm. I always wanted to do my own thing. I did manage the gym in Carton House for a while.
Okay, nice.
Which went well. That lasted about a year. Nice. And then during the recession, I got let go. And then I had always had another part-time job. Mm-hmm. So I was still doing my classes. And then Scott Farrell said to me one day, I was teaching a class in Hewlett Packard, and I was like, I'm so bored, you know, I'm running marathons, I'm mm-hmm. doing kettlebells, and he's like, you ever hear of CrossFit? And I was like, no, what's that? And so that was in 2010, and I was like, I'm going to try a class, and he was in CrossFit Ireland. I think there was only three boxes in CrossFit in Ireland at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to book in. So I booked in on my first session, and I loved it, and I was like, yep, unlimited, please, and that was it. I just fell in love with I didn't even know it was a big thing. I just thought it was this one gym in Sandyford. I was like, they should have more of these. And like, there is more of them, Lorna. So I just fell in love with the whole concept of it and how it made me feel and how the just community of everybody wanted you to do well. And that support really meant a lot to me at the time. And I loved it. I fell in love with it straight away. Mm. So I just, from then on, that was it.
Awesome. Excellent. I remember distinctly, I know, like I was talking about when I got into the CrossFit in 2008, but I didn't really hang out with the lads in CrossFit Ireland, like Cullum and the lads, for a good while. Like, I was kind of doing a lot in Galway and stuff, but I distinctly remember some people, like not necessarily yourself, but other people going, geez, I wonder, is there any more of these around, like? And now, to be fair, at that time, there wasn't too many to be, like, at the same stage.
Yeah.
There was pockets of people doing it, all right, but I remember it was a very cool little club at the time.
Yeah, I just had no idea there was, like, this was this bit, even that was in America. It was crazy. Yeah. It was just such a good... it's just a great concept, yeah. That's what I remember. I still tell people that. I'm like, I didn't even know there was loads of these.
Awesome. Okay. So you've come a long way from that. So at the moment you are, and I'm very pleased to speak to you about it, but and I'm quite jealous at the same time, I have to say, but I need to get stuck in myself. But you're the first and only CrossFit Level 3 trainer in Ireland, which is a fantastic achievement. Could you speak a little bit about what kind of got you started on the road to that, and then some of the challenges you encountered on the way to achieving it, if you could?
Well, I heard about it first when we went to our level 2 in 2015. When that came up, I just wanted to do it straight away, mm-hmm. because I'm like, I always want to get better. So I was like, let's go do that. So we went and did the level 2, and then they were talking about this level 3, and I'm like, I want to do that. I always just want to be, I think it's a no-brainer. I think especially when you own an affiliate and that's your whole career in your life, I think you should always strive to be better. So I think it would have been weird for me not to do it. It's mm-hmm. just, I wanted to learn more and offer the best to the members that we have. And yeah, I knew it would be hard, but I enjoyed the process. I used to wake up every morning going, oh my God, what am I going to learn today that I didn't know? And then I tell people about it in the gym, like, do you know this? So I kind of nerded out on everybody in the gym for like a year. Mm. So it was, I really enjoyed it, but I just thought it was just the next step, and it was kind of a natural to want to go for the level 3. And the level 4 is not out yet. It's not available.
No.
So I don't know. I've emailed them already, seeing when that's going to be available, because, yeah, I want to get better and better. Like the level 2. Have you done the level 2?
Yeah, I did the level 2 last year.
Mm-hmm. Did you come out of it going, how do I coach anyone?
Yeah,
put you up on everything, don't they? It's brilliant. Yeah. Like, you just learn so much.
Mm. I mean, I love the level 2, but I think it's funny because I suppose I tried before when I did the level 1 years ago. I had been doing CrossFit for a good while before I did the level 1, so I think I did the opposite way to a lot of people. A lot of people find CrossFit and they get stuck straight into the level 1. And then they go after that. I was doing CrossFit for ages before I did it, and coaching.
How long?
Maybe, let me see, 4 years.
Oh, wow.
3-4 years, maybe. So I was just kind of helping out, like doing bits and pieces. And like, I suppose, as everybody, there was a lot of like failed attempts at setting up this and small bits and pieces like this. And I think I had lots of different attempts at trying to build something, but I was doing it with, first of all, when I got into it, we were doing it in the park and on the beach in Salt Hill in Galway, for about 2 years, like myself and one of the guys, Ronan, and his girlfriend and a couple of others, and it was mad. Like, we were just every Tuesday and Thursday night bringing kettlebells down, chucking rocks around the beach every Saturday. It was just mental, like, and then every so often I would go. Pardon?
It's changed a lot since then.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of sad a little bit that it's changed nearly. I like that.
It's like big now. It's like, we used to be the only one that done it.
But what I found interesting was when I went to the level 1, it was what I expected. I really enjoyed it. And it was excellent. But it was kind of what I was hoping for. And I was like, oh, good, this is actually really, really nice. And the level 2 didn't disappoint either, because it was... I was anticipating what a type of a weekend, and I got that, and I was very happy with that. Like, I was like, yeah, this is exactly what we need. Like, now, it reinforced my interest in CrossFit, I think, in general, rather than not necessarily just the 21:15:09 or the AMRAP in 7 minutes or whatever it is. That's all fairly reasonable, and I think that can be quite generic. But the onus and the emphasis on really, really just being able to push people past where their comfort zones are, and expecting a lot more from them because they can actually get that, I think was really, really interesting. But also having the humility to go, look, if you can't achieve this at the moment, we've got to set out a nice, consistent, steady paced plan, and give people a chance to see what is possible. And then if they're ready to rock into that, all the better. I don't know what you thought. How did you find the level 2 really enjoyable?
I loved the level 2. Mm-hmm. So we went and did it in London, and it was just great just having the feedback from people, because when you own an affiliate, you're kind of, and before, I suppose 2015, we were a few years in, but like, no, but I assess my coaches' classes. Nobody really assesses my classes except Scott, and that never ends well. So
I know, yeah.
he's very good, very thorough. So it was nice to go and get like that feedback on my coaching as well. So we could go back and make ourselves better, you know, as well as trying to make our coaches better. Our programming changed after the level 2 as well.
Yeah.
Big time. And it was hard for some of the members. Like, they all came on board eventually, but you know, you have your strength and your workout.
Yeah.
And at the level 2, they really stressed it. I think we just got into a pattern what everybody else was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as we did our level 2, we just changed our program. And if it's a strength, it's just strength. And we'll put some skill work in there, but it's not, you're going to be focusing on strength or the workout. It's not going to be both. So that really was a game changer for us when we came back.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's quite interesting. Oh, bear with me. Hello?
Hello, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. There's a little bit of feedback on that there. It's a bit strange. I think that's interesting. We've just recently changed our program, and I was actually speaking to Darren Ellis, the second last podcast I actually popped up. he spoke about his change of programming and stuff like that into the fitness and performance kind of role. And I found it interesting when the level two was very good in bringing you back to a more straightforward, like, okay, well, look, who are we actually trying to deal with here? Like, who are we dealing with? Is there, do we really need to put all of these high level complicated things in unless people have the ability to do it? And who are we going to be dealing with going forwards? And what do they need? Made it really interesting in that context. And I think it keeps it quite interesting. Rather than having the same strength and da 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 and Metcon and yeah. all that. I mean, I think that's interesting, but a lot of people get very wedded to that. And I would be the same as yourself, very comfortable with quick change and then yeah. seeing if the next thing works. And if it doesn't, okay, fine, we can change again. But being perfectly okay with the rough and tumble of those changes, I think it's yeah. important to do that. I think especially when it comes to the people that we are dealing with at the moment, like the not necessarily the first adopters of CrossFit, a much more mainstream general population that we're working with. We have no choice but to both make sure they are very, very safe while doing these things. And that change of programming can definitely ensure that, I think. I know what your opinion is. Mm-hmm.
Just focusing on the basics. When you come in, I know a friend of mine just opened an affiliate, he's a member, mm-hmm. and he was worried that he didn't have ring muscle ups or anything yeah. like that. And I'm like, people don't come in your door going, I want some very small percentage of people come in your door saying I want a ring muscle up.
Yeah.
I said, people come in because they want to lose weight, they want to lead a healthier lifestyle, and that's it. That's 99.9% of what we do. Yeah. And it's the best part of what we do. I love the way CrossFit has gone down the CrossFit health path, because we've always been about that. Mm-hmm. Yes, we enter teams and competitions and stuff, but basically I put up a poll on our members page saying why are you here, and mm-hmm. mostly it was just wellness. Yeah. People would just want to be healthier, live longer, and it's great the way CrossFit is kind of attacking that now, that part of it, rather mm-hmm. than just focusing on the gains. And I love that. I love the new direction it's going. I know people are giving out, but I think change is excellent. It can't stay the same.
Yeah, I think I have to say I'm really excited by it. I think I always kind of, like, don't get me wrong, I love the games videos, and I've been to the games, and I love all the badass regional stuff, and it's really cool to see the kind of high levels. But I think this is a bad analogy potentially, but something like, if you keep going to the World Cup, can you really enjoy just like playing soccer? Like, yeah. I don't know if you can, like, if everything is only about the World Cup and only about the World Cup, yeah. like the actual enjoyment of the activity gets lost within it.
Yeah,
and I'm really interested myself in actually, like, even at the moment, like, I've spoke to speaking to Darren about this, Darren Ellis, just that it's a very difficult one to win. You can't win it. Like, you have no choice but to really enjoy the process of it and try and re-explore all the time, which is really, really interesting, I think.
The filthy's great like that, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, great, and also nobody. If Samantha Briggs is in it, and lovely Hilary Walsh,
yeah.
we're not winning, are we? I mean, you are just doing it to take part. And I think that's great, because people aren't entering it to win. Like the team we had, we're just entering it to see what cleans they could get, or, you know.
Exactly, like, yeah.
And how well they could do and just have fun. Like, yeah. it was a great day, you know, so.
Yeah, I think I think those kind of competitions are fantastic. I mean, I think the interesting part about it is I think there was definitely a bit of a stage, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, where there was a significant ramp up in people doing CrossFit and the interest in CrossFit, and
yeah.
the games were at their kind of height of madness, and I think people maybe got a bit wound up in the competitive kind of element, and everybody now is like, okay, well, look, this is the way to do it, when the basic general point of CrossFit, originally the training methodology, was never to be in a high level world competition. It was a case of, like, okay, you can always try and beat yourself, and you can try and beat your yeah. buddies in the box or whatever it is. You're always trying yeah. to beat the workout rather than yeah. beat somebody else. And I think yeah. that's where it will come back to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It changed a lot over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
It's kind of doing a full circle now, I think, and
yeah.
you know, but you could compete every weekend if you wanted to at the moment too.
Yeah, you can. I suppose that's the thing, like, it can yeah. be challenging, but I think, like, sometimes that's fine, but I don't know, I get worried about that a little bit as well, because the actual development of the skills that you'd need to really make progress on those, like you can go to the same kind of competitions all the time and just kind of have a bit of fun with it, buying some new gear, have the crack, fine. But I think that people will get a little bit tired of that as well. And especially if there's certain movements that they find quite challenging, it's nearly it's obviously more important for them to just kind of settle back into it. Like, okay, look, this is a longer process. And I have to build up to maybe bigger competitions, if that makes sense, rather than like once or twice a year, like a big crazy one. So you actually have a year long type of an element. I suppose, like all of us, we have this interest in trying to get the next hit straight away. And we're like, okay, well, like, I think I can do this. And thinking maybe isn't such a good idea when it comes to that kind of stuff. Like, you should probably just put in the work for a while and just get on. Yeah. But then just also get on with your own life, like, as in, like, we've all got stuff going on. So I think there needs to be that constant humility to, like, okay, look, this is just an event. This is just a type of training methodology. It's not my identity. It's not my only thing. It's just a hobby, and it's just a thing I enjoy. So I think that needs to be reinforced regularly for people. Because I think it can get out of hand a little bit at times. I don't know if you agree.
Your CrossFit, well, it is my whole life. Probably is your whole life as well. So,
but I'm trying to make it less, but I'm trying to make it a little bit less, because I definitely get quite wound up in it. But I think this kind of podcast helps a little bit change. I don't know, awkwardly changes it.
We just talk about CrossFit instead of doing CrossFit. I think it's good to have, like, we always make sure people track. We have SugarWad, so we pay for that for our members. Yeah. And I always say to write in the notes, you know, how you're feeling that day. Like, you don't have to show it to people, because you could be having, I always hear people say, I was getting this like a few months ago. Why is that? I find myself doing it myself. And I'm like, okay, what did you have going on then? They're like, well, nothing really. I'm like, what do you have going on now? Well, my wife just had a baby. We've moved house. I've changed jobs. And I was like, keep notes of that. That's why you may not be doing so, and that's okay. As long as you're coming here and you're moving, it's okay to have other things going on in your life that need your attention. Yeah. You don't have to be slamming it all the time, you know? So I think it's good. We remind people to keep note of why they're doing well, maybe their diet's on track, and then why they're suddenly not doing as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
As they were, and remember where they are in their life. Yeah. That's really important.
Excellent. So I'm going to go back into the level three a little bit, because I'm kind of curious, and I think a lot of other people would be quite curious. Did you have any particular strategies for studying for it, or did you change your approach to coaching or to your approach to the gym in general while you were studying for the level three? Was there any particular strategies you employed? Were you up at like 5 a.m, hitting the books hard for 2 hours, and then watching all the videos and stuff, or was it a more, did you set out a kind of a 6-month process where you're like, okay, I'm going to get this amount done or this amount done, and try and test and learn and reevaluate it on an ongoing basis, or what kind of strategies did you employ?
I had a plan this time. The first time I kind of just wanted to, I was so nervous, and I don't know why I was nervous, because you have your own time frame and I just wanted to read everything. This time I set it out. I was reading the articles every day, and I was like, okay, I'm going to spend about 3 months and I'm going to just study, and I had a plan. And in every article, I kind of highlighted the main points. I wrote questions on them and every day, and then I watched a video every day. Whatever I learned, if I could, I say, okay, what class can I put that into this week, whether it was on Olympic lifting or in our gymnastics class, or maybe it was when I was coaching one of my coaches, and I said, okay, I'll bring that in there now and talk to the members about whatever I learned. So I'm like, do you know what I learned today? Blah, blah, blah. And they were always like me going, that was on page. So I really involved the members in the whole process. So they were so happy. They got me a present and everything. They were so good when I passed. Nice. So that's how I kind of put it into play in the gym. A couple of the girls were, there was loads of stuff on pregnancy that I had to read. So a couple of the girls were pregnant. So it was easy. I printed off stuff. I sent it through to the coach. So I said, these are good scales when you're pregnant, and just the way CrossFit do it. And they're up in the wall now in the gym, because there's a good few ladies that are pregnant. So the coaches are there just to double check it.
Yeah.
At the end of every week, after all my studying, I started off with 10 questions, and I used to do the test without the books every week. Until I got those 10 questions right, I wouldn't study anything else.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the process, I had 186 questions, and I could answer every single one of them without any books by the end. And I was like, okay, I'm ready.
Sweet.
Yeah, so I have a big test that I have, and I will probably still, you have to renew it every like 3 years. I have all my study material. I got all the manuals put into hardback.
Yeah.
The kids, the masters, the level one, the level two. I bought my level one when we actually Invictus posted it when I was in San Diego. It's because I bought it over there and I just really put my head down. It's just nicer to read when you're in bed with hardback rather than a manual. So I have all that stuff there. But basically, I tested myself every week on everything until I got it right and I didn't learn anything else.
Awesome. That sounds like a good strategy.
Yeah. Feel like I tested myself every week, and then if there's something I didn't know, I'd go back and read it, and then I'd read it again until I knew it, and then you just end up knowing it rather than okay, I'm gonna just remember everything. I wanted to know everything. I just had this hunger just to like I wanted to know everything about CrossFit, and I still want to know it all, you know. I just love it. I love the whole science behind it, and it was just brilliant. Poor Scott now when I was studying, because he didn't have the kitchen table because it was just full of CrossFit stuff. I must have wrote the journal. That's how I study. I'm like, right now. So it was crazy for him, but he was very supportive.
Nice. Excellent. So I'm curious now, during the time you were studying for it and improving yourself on so many levels on this, did you find that you got a lot of support from your members, but was there any distinct changes you made within the gym during that kind of time? Were you not necessarily that you just adding more educational content in or into the classes, a change of mentality when it came to the expectations of the members? Or else even more of a humility to their situation. Did any of those kind of elements change while you were studying for it?
It depends on what part I was studying. Like, they go in about, like, there's a lot of articles about, like, the head mindset stuff was amazing. And that was new since I started studying for it last time.
Yeah.
Like, how to build people up. I'm quite good at that anyway, but just reading the extra, it's a lot about the psychology and how to build people up and how to just, you know, kind of read people, and maybe they're not feeling so great today and checking in with people. There was a lot of that.
Yeah.
And it was very, very interesting, and it did help me a little bit more, and my coaches as well, because you have a Coaches Corner Facebook page.
Yeah.
So any articles I was studying, I'd pop up there and say, listen, guys, we're going to focus on this week. This is what we're going to focus on in the warm-up.
Yeah.
And it helped me coach the coaches a little bit better and maybe understand the coaches a little bit better as well.
Okay.
And what they kind of would struggle with. So
that's actually really
that way.
Go for it.
Oh, sorry, go on. You
no.
Go ahead.
Well, no, that's an interesting, I suppose, a couple of little points towards the end there. And at the moment we've spoken a little bit before about this kind of offline, just about coaches development, and that's something you're quite interested at the moment in.
Yeah.
And you're definitely helping a good amount of coaches at the moment. Is there any particular areas that you would recommend for potentially experienced coaches like ourselves, on the good strategies that you've employed to help develop those younger coaches or the more inexperienced coaches? Is there any particular areas that you've worked on in particular with those guys?
Mm-hmm. Like, of course, CrossFit's about movement.
Yeah.
But it's more about people and knowing, like, it's okay, you can stand up there and read the workout on the board, but you have to, it's not really about that. They can read that on Sugar Wadge when it's texted them. They can read that on the board. They're reading that. It's more about how to engage and how to check in with everybody and see if everybody's okay that day. Like, so maybe one of your members is normally chatting and he's really quiet, and maybe he just needs a little bit of extra support that day. So just really about looking after the people that are in your class on that day. You get to know them pretty well. And so you should kind of know, maybe they don't want to be pushed that hard that day, or maybe, you know, something happened in their life and they're upset, and trying to notice that. And it's really, really, really helped. One of our newer coaches, Jeff, he's our full-time coach now.
Yeah.
He's very good. With people and checking in with people and making sure they're okay.
Mm.
Excellent. So there was a lot of, that's what I would say to people. I say, yes, we want people to move well, but we know how to make people move well and don't add weight if they're not safe. We want to protect them as well from just feeling bad in the gym, and we want that to be a fun experience for them for that 1 hour of their life, no matter what is going on outside, because they'd be having a really crappy time and they come in and they're not happy. We want them to leave happy. So a lot of that stuff of dealing with people and making sure they're just safe and happy, and before the movement comes in. So if someone new comes into you and you're like, no, your squat's not low enough, you're not opening your hips, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they're not going to come back. Whereas if not, there's no weight and it's their first time doing CrossFit, they're not going to come back if you keep telling them what they're doing is wrong. Mm. You know, so yeah. I think kind of picking what's important and what is not. If someone's like deadlifting 200 kilos and their back is really round, yeah, that's a different issue, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, just I think there was a lot of that stuff in the level train.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. I found that very helpful. And their coaches are really nailing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Some. Cover.
Go on.
No, no. So yeah, I agree. Some of a lot of the coaches I've either dealt with down to level one or the level two, fantastic coaches, and really, really just have a different kind of level of calm and clarity. I think it's I get quite jealous about it. I'm like, I'd love to be like that, but and I think I think I have spurts of it here and there. Maybe I might have like a couple of minutes of it here and there. It's harder to find, I think. Maybe from our own perceptions, mind. Maybe we are doing quite a good job. But I think I personally find it difficult to know whether I'm doing enough, detail wise, or whether I am checking in enough and things like that. I think it can be just a challenge for us individually. To try and have that belief that we are making that good level of progress and stuff. I think it can be just an interesting one. Can I speak to you a little bit about the actual kind of business nearly of the gym? So
yeah.
you guys at the moment, and I know lots of different CrossFit gyms and general strength and conditioning facilities will have a different introduction process. But you guys have a passport to get people started. Could you speak a little bit about that? It sounds interesting. And I suppose a lot of places will have their normal kind of foundations and maybe your 3 weeks or 4 week kind of a cycle to get people into it. But could you speak a little bit about the passport concept that you guys have employed?
Yeah, I'm changing soon, so I'll talk about that after. Okay. So it's 3 one-on-one sessions because we found one over the years. I've done the 3 weeks, one on a Tuesday, one on a Thursday at 8 o'clock. Not everybody's available those days.
Mm-hmm.
So the main thing was that we had 10 people maybe who, and then, oh, I'm going to miss this day, I'm going to miss this day.
Yeah.
So the main reason we're changing is, okay, if we have 3 one-on-ones that can be booked at a time that suits them,
mm-hmm.
it's just more accessible for people.
Yeah.
We get a little bit of one-on-one training with them, ask about their lifestyle, get to know them a little bit. As you know, we like to get to know people.
Yeah.
Before they join the gym, the one-on-ones are most probably done at a time there's a class, so it gets people have to have a look at the class and introduce them to the members without being so, oh my god, I'm in this class with like 12 people.
Yeah.
So it's just a bit of an easier transition into the gym.
Mm-hmm.
We get to know about their goals, so we ask them, we get a chance to talk to them individually one-to-one and see what they want.
Okay.
They go through the 9 fundamental movements on the 3 sessions,
mm-hmm.
and they go through a couple of different types of workouts.
Yeah.
Like that's. But the most important point for us is that we get to know them a little bit, mm-hmm. and that this is the place for them. They also get 5 classes to use over the 2 weeks when they finish their passports to okay. integrate them into the classes. And then it's up to them if they join or not. So we don't mm-hmm. ask them to sign up straight away.
Okay.
If they like it, they'll stay. If they don't, they won't. Most people stay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's good. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like we're very about, you know, relationships. Yeah. And building good relationships with our clients, and I think that's the best way. One on one is the best way to get to know someone.
Yeah, I agree definitely. So with the 3 PTs, do you put the person into the class and have a second coach, taking part in the class as well to kind of shadow them, or are those 3 on a purely one to one basis, and then they would integrate into the classes from there?
Yeah, purely one-to-one for those 3. There'd normally be a class going on while we
okay,
have
yeah,
them.
Okay, so they'll see it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they'll see it going on. Yeah. And then the 5 classes, then the coach will know that they're new. But the members will probably have met the guys through the one-on-ones. And our members, some sort are always like, oh, welcome, seated. Like, they're just brilliant.
Okay,
you know, so it's a great community that we have, you know.
Super nice. So going forwards from that, and you guys have a thriving gym over the last number of years, and you're only getting stronger at because the addition of like that new coaches and different elements and your level 3 and stuff like that. Is there any particular, I suppose, not necessarily even tactics, but to a small extent tactics, but more so and mindset changes or different changes in the gym culture that have really, really improved, be it retention or the addition of new people or what have you guys found that's a really big help and been a big help over the last number of years to growing the business to a very strong point right now? Because
Well, the members that we have now, we've had a good few members there 4 or 5 years. And I suppose when people, the morning classes, when people join the morning classes, they nearly pull people in to the family. Like there's Deb and there's Ken and there's like Jade and like loads of people. And they've all been with us a good while. And I think as your gym gets older, that's the right word, it's stronger because the people there want to be there. You know, like they've been there for 4 years. You've made changes. They haven't minded. You know, they trust you as a coach. They trust you as a gym, and that is massive. So I think the main thing we have are the people that have been with us like between 2 to 5 years that trust the way we do things. And I think people see that and are just pulled in straight away. And they are our culture. They're our biggest sales point. We really don't have to do any marketing anymore. I mean, it's referrals. Mostly, it's probably like yourselves in CrossFit Galway. It's mostly referrals because people love being there. You know, they want their friends to love being there as well. Like their husbands, wives, and brothers and sisters, and like Neve has been with us now for a year and a half, and her both as it three of her, no two of her sister-in-laws
I've joined.
have joined. Oh yeah, as well. So it's like people. It's just all about the people that are there. I just love them. They're worth it. You know, like they're just our biggest sales points and makes it a pleasure going in there every day.
I think that's quite interesting. I think a lot of the time it can be and I'm sure everyone has every gym has its own and every business even has its own type of a different mentality when it comes to the likes of that. But I think the passion for that you sound and I've met you a number of times and the passion you've shown to your members definitely makes a big difference. I think a lot of the time it can be not necessarily can be challenging, but there can be the situation where you, as a coach or as an owner, you get kind of wound up in your own kind of thing. But I think it's no harm sometimes in getting kind of wound up in it and really embodying it as much as possible. And it doesn't necessarily, like you said, mentioned earlier on, it doesn't have to be I'm the best athlete or I'm this and this, but it has to be that allowing yourself to be like, okay, well, they do trust me and I've given you this much, I've helped you get this much progress. And I'm going to continue on, but you're never asking for validation of that. The validation is in the evidence, really, which is I think is vital. And
Yeah.
I think sometimes that can be the challenging one for CrossFit gyms because they may, the owners or the coaches or whatever may, and the athletes the same, and the members may feel like that. Okay, well, I didn't do really well in this competition, so that means that my training isn't working as well. But the fact that they're even able to compete means that the training is probably working. So I think that's interesting that like that level of passion use on a consistent level shows very quickly in a situation like your own. And I think it's a great thing. I think it's a challenge because when we all encounter different difficulties over the years, trying to maintain that passion is challenging.
Sometimes.
Yeah, very much. But I think you guys have done a fantastic job on it, and it's going really interesting. Have you any particular interesting plans going forwards? Any particular different programs you're kind of looking at checking out, or workshops or any of that kind of stuff? Is there any particular areas you'd like to go into next, as a gym?
On a personal level, as we get bigger, I'd like to go into more. Obviously, I'm going to coach the members, but I'd like to go into coaching development. I'd also like to get really, really good at programming. That's for myself on a personal level. And but for the gym, yeah, there's a few things coming up. I can't say yet, but it's a very exciting future ahead. So
Nice.
yeah, just in the wellness, we do a lot of corporate wellness as well. So I have another company called Total Wellness. So we do a lot of corporate, and then yeah, we're going to be working with a few different people over the next couple of years. It's all very exciting, so we'll keep you posted.
Excellent. Oh,
So
brilliant.
yeah, it's really, really exciting.
Awesome.
So over the next couple of years, we have a good team now behind us. So
Nice.
great couple of girls have passed. Like Mary is, because she's a teacher during the day, but she's just waiting for her results on her nutrition. Okay. We have Niamh, who's doing the precision nutrition course as well online, mm-hmm. who is also has her level one. So we're going to be focusing an awful lot on that. We're getting Janie from CrossFit Bua,
yeah.
or Swords, mm-hmm. Has loaned us his InBody machine to do for the members there a couple of weeks ago, and we've now purchased one.
Oh,
so
awesome.
That's be included in the passport. So it's going to be a lot more lifestyle orientated. So when people sign up, they get their InBody readout, they get their one-on-one, and it's more about, okay, so where are you now with your nutrition? Because I don't think that's focused on enough at the start.
Yeah.
By the way, it's the basis of everything we do, so we're going to focus on more on nutrition when we sign people up and ask them a bit more about their lifestyle,
yeah.
and explain that if we this isn't right, you won't make progress. And so we're going to focus on the lifestyle of people a little bit more. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, some great, some really interesting changes there. That's good. Our improvements, definitely. Have you found, did you find it difficult to get into the corporate wellness type of an arena, or did you have any particular kind of context that made it easier? Or how have you found the feedback has been very, very positive? Obviously, if you've got some interesting contracts going forwards, it's going to be very, very positive. Can you speak a little bit about that?
The corporate stuff, I was a year when I opened, and one of our men, well, I always had two jobs. Well, even before CrossFit, I managed a gym in Curtin House, and I worked as an instructor in Hewlett-Packard in their gym.
Okay.
That went out to tender, like the whole gym management a year after I opened, and I went for it, and I got it. So I had to create a whole new company. And then we worked with Twitter for a while. So that was about a year and a half. We just did classes with them and some mindfulness and all that type of stuff, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. And then we are in Intel as well.
Awesome.
And then there's another, I'm just waiting on the contract to be signed for another business now soon. So I can't say anything. So,
no problem.
And that's a huge one as well. So
brilliant. They're excellent. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good. So it's into the whole, I teach Pilates and I have yoga instructors and we do CrossFit in these places as well, or we have them out for competitions in the gym. We've had that before, so like a corporate fitness challenge. So it's just kind of getting those people moving and offering them a little bit of what we do in the places that they work. We do nutrition challenges and all that type of stuff as well. So
awesome,
it's pretty good. Yeah.
Do you still teach Pilates, or are you still a big fan on the Pilates?
I still teach Pilates.
Nice.
Going into Intel today to teach Pilates.
Nice.
I teach it in HP on a Tuesday. I like to go in and teach in the, so I get to kind of talk to all the people that the members in the corporate gyms as well.
Yeah.
So I keep in touch with them. Other than that, we have people that work in there, you know, so.
Nice, excellent. Cool, well, Lorna, that's fantastic. I'm gonna finish off with a couple of kind of, I suppose, a little bit offbeat kind of questions. The first one, I suppose, is do you have a particular favorite coach that you've dealt with over the years? I know I've dealt with, like, even on the level ones and level twos and my time in the States and different things with different sports. I've had a couple of interesting particular coaches. Have you anyone in particular, any one or two that have really had a big impact on you, or you've just found them to be just fantastic coaches, and their delivery, their activities have been excellent? Is there anybody in particular that you're thinking about?
Carl Stedman from HQ has always been my, because he was on my first level one.
Mm-hmm.
He's on my second level one, and he was on my level two. Rob Lawson as well, excellent. Those two just kind of, I was like, I want to be like them. They just have such an, and they know everything. So like, I just want their knowledge that they have in CrossFit. Carl Stedman just has a passion for CrossFit that I know.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would be possible for him to have more of a passion for CrossFit than me, but he just does. He's just, Carl Stedman.
Yeah, I think I've had Carl on the, was it on the level two? No, he wasn't on the level two. He was on my level one, was he? He was actually, Jesus.
Yeah.
He's a really, really interesting guy, I think. I suppose, like yourself, I would have looked at and keep an eye on all of the the celebrities of CrossFit, even in the coaching. For me, the coaches are the celebrities rather than the athletes.
Me too.
I'm always like, oh, I wouldn't mind being this. I wouldn't mind stealing these ideas. But he's always been very calm and control and very controlled. Even when he's speaking to you, there's a very different kind of vibe. I don't know. It's a nice, quiet confidence. Which has been really, really interesting, and that makes it very easy for him to explain all the details. I think it can be challenging, but I think he's like yourself, the whole family has got involved and they've been quite involved for a long time. So, and he's committed to just the involvement in the whole ethos, which makes a big difference, yeah. Which is good, but he's a class act,
He's brilliant. Yeah.
definitely. Is there any particular favorite books that you have at the moment, or any podcasts or anything like that?
Will it make the boat go faster? I think that's what it's called. It's about the British rowing team when they were trying to win the Olympics.
Oh, nice.
Oh my God, it's so good. I read it actually all the way coming up to my level three, and every day I woke up going, I'm like, oh God, I'm tired today. Honestly, I'm like, will that make the boat go faster? Lauren, it no. So it's about their training. That's what the book is called. But
Awesome.
their coach to win the Olympics said every day you wake up, every decision you make, you have to say, will this make the boat go faster? If it's yes, do it. If it's no, don't do it. And by the end of the book, and they're in the race, you're nearly in it with them. I was like nearly rowing a boat, and I was sitting in bed reading the book, and I was like, yes. And he was like explaining the burning in his legs and. Like, oh, it's only 100 meters left. Can I do it? I can't do it. But and then they won it with one of the best books. Very motivating. Very just some of the techniques they put in place to succeed. Like I did for passing my level three, and now I've reread it. I'm rereading it now again because it was just so good. Like you go through the whole process with them. You really get into it. It's well written. Very, very good. I can't remember who writes it now. I think it's one of the. I can't remember who writes it.
No
It's
problem.
upstairs.
I'll link it up in the show notes anyways. That'll
Yeah,
be definitely one I'll have to check out.
very good. Yeah,
Awesome,
I love
awesome.
that.
Damn you, you're adding to my list of books that I want to get. Damn it. I already have too many. But
One of
that's
the best ones,
fantastic. Yeah.
Tim Ferriss as well. Tim Ferriss is very good.
Yeah, no, Tim's
Yeah.
excellent. I think that's one of the interesting things that I like. That is a great opportunity to get interesting ideas on new books and new ways of learning. I think that's the really good thing. But I like there's really I like the sound of that one. I think there's a lot of books that you can get quite good strategies out of, and they can be kind of a bit wishy-washy maybe at times, but something like that is quite accessible for a lot of us who have the same mentality maybe of like we want to try and make that boat go faster,
Yeah.
and we can identify quite quickly with it. I think a lot of business books or sports psychology books or sport books in general or mindset books, etc., will give you some straightforward enough kind of stuff, and it's absolutely important, don't get me wrong, but I think it can be definitely very much individual on what you take from it, but things like that kind of a book make a big difference to how you can approach a situation like the level three
Yeah, it
study.
was
So
brilliant. I loved it. I was nearly crying when they won, even though I know they were going to win. I knew they
yeah.
were going to win right from the start, but I was like, oh, that's brilliant.
Nice. Good feel good end. I love it. That's nice.
It was really good.
Great stuff. Lorna, where can we find out more about you? Obviously with the gym across at West Dublin, is there any particular places that people can check you out, just email you wise or go to the website and kind of base it
Yes,
from
my
there?
website. Like Cross West Dublin, www.crosswestdublin.com. They can find us on Facebook, Instagram. I'm Lorna_CFWD. You can email me. My email is on the website as well, Lorna@crosswestdublin.com. Yeah, any questions, I'll answer any questions.
Cool.
That it
No,
was different both times I did it, so you
yeah.
can't really plan for it either. You have to
No,
just learn
no.
everything.
No, absolutely. I'd say the best thing to do is probably just bring you for a coffee and pick your brain for a
Yeah.
couple of hours.
Next time we'll go away.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I think that's fantastic. I think a lot of people will be interested in it. I know I'm personally interested in it, but I think like a lot of people, the potential for organizing a strategy into your life so that you can actually allow yourself the time to get the study done, to put it into practice so you can test and retest it, and make sure you are actually consolidating the knowledge, is really interesting. And your strategies are very, very interesting, I think, there. So thanks for letting us know about that.
Problem.
Cool. Lorna, I'm going to leave you to it. It's been a pleasure chatting to you, and hopefully everybody enjoys the conversation. But I'm gonna leave
Hopefully.
you to head off and get some Pilates on, and
Thanks
have a fantastic day. And thanks again for joining me.
a million, Park. Have a good day.
Okay, folks, so you've just been listening to episode number 39 of the Humble Coach Podcast with Lorna Hayes. Hopefully you guys all enjoy the show. If you'd like to check out any of the other episodes, we're available on Stitcher, on Spotify, and also on our main home base of podbean.com. We're also available on iTunes if you are an Apple user. Hopefully you guys have a fantastic day, and I'll see you guys very soon.